If I commit a sin, or anybody one commits a sin, yes, we can have faith that God will forgive us, but we have to activate that forgiveness through the work of repentance. And again, we have to humble ourselves and repent. And for some of us, that can be work. I'm sure we've all heard the glancing blow of an apology, where it may have come across as, "I'm sorry you took it that way," or "I'm sorry you misunderstood what I said." But again, until we can humble ourselves and do it, takes work to say, "You know what? I was wrong in that case. I apologize. Please forgive me." And the beautiful part of that is the miracle of forgiveness. Once we cross that bridge and put in the work to go ahead and humble ourselves in that way, then we'll hear the doors of heaven open up, and we'll be renewed again. Verse 20, if we can look at verse 20, James says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" He said, "Wilt thou know, O vain man?" There's a certain amount of vanity, again, that comes with the fact of thinking that I can have faith, but I don't have to get up and get my hands as dirty as the next man. Because of who I am, the Lord is just going to, I can just make a wish and the Lord's going to work it out for me. Again, the Lord will fight our battles, but again, we have to go ahead and put in the work also. That particular verse, verse 20, "O vain man," I'm kind of reminded of a modern day parable, if you will, by some of my grandparents. I'm sure some of us have heard the analogy or the example of the more you do for some people, the sorrier they get. Or the more you do for some people, the more they expect for you to do. Again, I can't recall which elder it was in my family, but someone kind of gave a modern-day parable that happened to them. And it was along the lines of, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, but if you teach him to fish, he'll eat forever. I think there was someone who came through this place in Plymouth. They call it the Quarters. And I think one of my relatives had gone fishing, and they were having like a fish fry up in, under the tree, which was kind of like the local meeting spot in Plymouth. And one of the people came by, you know, asked, might have been my uncle, said, "Hey, can I, you know, I see you caught a mess of fish. Can I get one?" And I think my family member, you know, offered to give him a fish. And then he wanted to know, "Hey, look, I see you got your equipment out and you cleaning the fish. Can you go ahead and clean it for me?" And, you know, my family member kind of acquiesced a little bit and helped him out. Then he said, "Well, I see you got the grease going. Can you go and fry the fish for me?" And after he did that, the man wanted to know, can you, "I see you fixing plates. Can you go ahead and fix the plate for me?" And after that final thing, you know, you've done all this. Can you go ahead and maybe bring me a plate? And I'm sure that some of us as Christians, when we've attempted to help people, or maybe we were on the other end, that can tend to get on your nerves. And if you can imagine, if that gets on our nerves, how much it must get on God's nerves. God provides us with the tools and the resources that we need, but at the same time, we, in some cases, don't achieve and we don't reap the benefits of God's blessings because we want to do it all for us. And that's not how God's built, and that's not how he built us. We'll move on now to verse 21. Verse 21 says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Verse 22 says, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." Verse 22, you basically got to put feet behind those prayers. Again, Abraham was made perfect, but Abraham did a lot of work. If you read in Genesis, he fought a lot of battles. We hear about Father Abraham and, you know, how faithful he was, but Abraham was a pretty talented warrior also. And God was with Abraham in a lot of his battles, but at the same time, Abraham had to get up and put forth work and exercise his faith through work. Verse 23. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God." He had the faith. "And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Abraham believed God, but as was mentioned earlier, Abraham also did work. So with this perfect marriage of Abraham's faith and his ability and willingness to work, he achieved the title friend of God. Now, a lot of times you'll have family members who will be willing to do work and achieve greatness and establish a legacy. And it's sad to see the descendants of some of these people try to just, I guess, glom onto the legacy of their forefathers and ancestors without feeling that they have to do any of the work themselves. Or they may not have to follow the rules, or they may not have to conform to the structure that was set in place by their family members or ancestors. They figure they can just kind of inherit the wealth and inherit the name and the legacy without doing the work. In 8th chapter of John, the 39th chapter, the Pharisees were an example of these people who felt that because they were the descendants of Abraham, they could just kind of, you know, do what they wanted to do and still reap the benefits and the titles of being descendants of Abraham without having to actively exercise the faith and the work that Abraham had done. And these Pharisees were always trying to pick a fight and start some mess and always had something slick to say to Jesus. In this particular example, the Pharisees, they were talking to Jesus, and they wanted to let Jesus know, Abraham was our father. Jesus responded, if Abraham was your father, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, Abraham was humble. Abraham was selfless. Abraham was giving. Abraham didn't try to trick people out of their money, but Abraham was at the forefront of the struggle. Whereas a lot of the Pharisees during Jesus' time, they knew the law, but they exercised it. They had a zeal of the law, but not according to understanding. Verse 24, just about finished. Verse 24, as we continue to go with the theme of do your best and God will do the rest, say, ye see then how by the works of a man is justified and not by faith only. Ye see then how that by works of a man is justified and not by faith only. You got to have faith, and you have to do the work. We have to do the work, but we can't do a halfway job. We have to do the entire job. I'm reminded of Alexander Graham Bell. He's credited with inventing the telephone. And Alexander Graham Bell, he worked out the schematics, and he laid out the, I guess, prototypes of the telephone, which would allow people to communicate over long distances in the convenience of their own home. But as Alexander Graham Bell was working on this invention, there was another man also named Elijah Gray who was going toe-to-toe, step-for-step, and he had his own version or prototype of the phone. So there was a race between Alexander Graham Bell and Elijah Gray, and they both had phones that worked pretty good. But now there was also in the same vein of finishing the work, in order to get credit for the telephone, a patent had to be submitted to the United States Patent Office. And Alexander Graham Bell, yes, he had faith and he had done some of the work, but he kind of ignored or just kind of failed to send the patent in to the United States Patent Office. Thankfully, his father-in-law sent in the patent to the United States Patent Office, and Alexander Graham Bell's patent for the telephone hit the patent office one day before Elisha Gray's patent for the telephone hit the patent office. So if it wasn't for Alexander Graham Bell's father-in-law stopping for a minute, taking a good time and effort to send in Alexander Graham Bell's patent, well, then Elisha Gray would have gotten credit for the phone, and Alexander Graham Bell would have never been heard of. So, again, yes, we must have faith. We must do the work, but we can't do a halfway job. We can't get to the five-yard line and spike the football. We have to finish the race, as Paul mentioned. So at this point, you know, we're going to move on to verse 25. Verse 25 says, likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Again, old folks used to say, put feet to your prayers. If you do the best, if you do your best, God will do the rest. If we do what we can, God will do what we can't. I'm reminded of the story of David couldn't kill Goliath by himself. But he had faith that God would do it, but David had to have do the work of putting the stone in the air. And once he got the stone in the air, that's all David could do. He couldn't do anything else. But when he slung the stone out of a slingshot, he did his best. God put the velocity behind the stone, crushed Goliath's head, and did the rest. Moses could not part the Red Sea by himself. He had faith that it could be done, but he had to do the work to get to the Red Sea. God said, I'm not going to levitate you all from Egypt over to the Red Sea. You got to do work. You got to walk. You got to get out there. Now, once you get out there, do your best, and I'll do the rest. And you know the story said that Moses held up the rod and the water divided, the children crossed, and not a single soul was lost. Lyrics from a song, y'all. Joshua couldn't win the Battle of Jericho by himself. He had the faith. God told him, said, look, you get to Jericho and march around the walls. Do your best, and I'll do the rest. And as we know, God did the rest when the walls came tumbling down. Ezekiel couldn't resurrect dry bones by himself. He had no supernatural power to resurrect the dry bones and create an army. But God said, do your best. I want you to go down to the valley of the dry bones. Prophesy to the four winds. And once you've done your best, I'll do the rest. And as you know, God did the rest. He put the soldiers back together and assembled a massive army. Elijah couldn't summon a fiery chariot by himself. He had no power to do that. But God said, you get to the pickup spot. You be there when the chariot comes, and I'll do the rest. And as you know, Elijah stepped on board and rode on out. Noah had no way of manipulating and surviving the flood, let alone getting all those animals two by two on the ark. But God told Noah, said, you do the best, do your best, and I'll do the rest. Noah, you don't have control over this weather forecast that I'm bringing, but I want you to go and build an ark. I want it 300 cubits long. I want it 50 cubits wide, and I want it 30 cubits high. Now you do your best, and I'll do the rest. Samson couldn't slay the Philistine host by himself, especially after he had ran his mouth about his hair and the source of his strength and lost his power. But he repented, as we mentioned earlier. It takes work sometimes to admit that I was wrong, I messed up. But he did the work. He did his best. He repented. And then he went to he stood between the two main support pillars of the Colosseum. And when he got to the support pillars, God did the rest by giving him his power back. The scripture says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he was given his strength one last time. And as you know, he killed 10,000 of his enemies, and he was avenged for his two eyes. Samson did his best, and God did the rest. So in closing, sometimes we're going to face trials and tribulations. It's not a case of whether we might face them. We're going to face them. Everybody faces their individual trials and tribulations. What you go through, I may not go through. What I go through, you may not go through. But even though our trials and tribulations vary from individuals, the God that we serve is the same. He said, I'm the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Sometimes we have to face trials and adversity, and that's fine. There's an old saying that says, adversity is the vaccine for failure. So again, speaking of vaccines, we hope that they're working on a vaccine for this COVID-19. And we know as they go through the trial runs and trial tests for this vaccine, they're going to be failures. But I'm hoping that some of these scientists have faith in God and they're doing their best. And us as a praying, believing body of Christ, we're putting up prayers also. So once they've done their best, we're hoping that we have a supernatural breakthrough and we have faith that God will do the rest. Sometimes when life is going to knock the wind out of you, but if we have faith in Jesus, he'll help us catch our breath. In closing, one of the last few things, I'm also reminded of a story, and I actually heard this from someone on television not too long ago. Speaking of doing your best and God doing the rest, having faith but still putting in the work. There were two men in a little rickety rowboat, and they were way out in the middle of a lake. All of a sudden, the boat sprang a leak and began to take on water faster than they could get the water out. So one of the men began to pray to God to save them and deliver them from that disaster. The other man, he grabbed the ropes, and he told his friend, said, it's good to pray, true enough, but we're going to pray to God, and we're going to row for the shore. because God gave us arms and he gave us oars. In other words, we're not going to sit here in the middle of this lake and we're taking on water faster than we can get it out and just pray hoping that God deliver us. He's already given us the means to be delivered, but now we got to put our back into it and row for the shore. As we navigate through these uncertain times of COVID-19 and everything that's going on, yes, we have faith that God can deliver us and that he will sanitize our beings with the disinfecting of his Holy Spirit against COVID-19. But at the same time, we must put in the work by practicing social distancing, put in the work by washing our hands, put in the work by wearing masks, and put in the work by continuing to enjoy life with the faith that we understand what Matthew 24:15 says, that we stand in the holy place, not a hair on our head will be harmed. But in the meantime, we must continue to have faith and exercise works, because if we do our best, we know that God will do the rest. May God bless you and keep you. As our prayer, we turn it over now back to Pastor Jay.
Thank you,